The people at the top collaborate, and the people at the bottom are the ones that are competing. There's a common theme in the rooms that I challenge myself to be in that make me extremely uncomfortable, because it's just the best of the best. And there's a lot of people in this world that think that if you have less, it gives me more. That is could not be further from the truth. That's why you continue to grow and evolve, is because you have that mindset. You have that mindset of abundance. Welcome back to another episode of All or Nothing in Real Estate. I'm your host, Matt Smith, the founder of All or Nothing in Real Estate. This podcast is a movement to give back to this amazing industry that has given so much to me and my family. And guys, I've been promising you weeks after weeks that I've got some very special guests coming. And today's one of those days. One of my really good friends, an amazing human, an amazing business operator, and a new partner with us at the Built for More movement at EXP. Welcome to the show, Brittany Boatwright.
Thank you so much, Matt, for having me. I'm thrilled to be here and pour back into the community right alongside you.
Well, you give tons and tons of value. I'll just start by this. If you guys aren't following Brittany on social, you're missing out on tons of value. This woman owns the internet with her amazing content. So make sure that you follow her. I'm sure she'll share her stuff to follow her throughout the show. Brittany, let's just dive right in. One of the things that we are in alignment with is just we're in alignment with contribution and contributing. And so I think there's a lot of things that your story and your knowledge can provide value to the audience today. So let's just start with a little bit about who is Brittany Boatwright and how did she get to where she is today?
Yeah, thank you, Matt. Well, I'll start with the very beginning. I'm coming up on 8 years in real estate. June 19th will be my 8th year in real estate. So what's that, tomorrow? I got my license 8 years ago tomorrow. So
wow.
Yeah, it's been a journey for sure. So I got my license just kind of wanting to do more. I'm an insurance and financial services background, working with a big major player, thinking I wanted to open up a brick and mortar when I was constantly met with a lot of friction from not being able to control the uncontrollables. I don't like that. I know you don't either, Matt. So yep. Decided to pursue a career after reading, which I know a lot of people do, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I bought my first house as a single woman. Just going through that transaction just really opened my eyes to the possibility of more, and seeing that real estate gave me so much pride and joy. One of the only cousins, I have like 50 cousins, only cousins in my family to own a house. I come from a background of renters, you know, grew up not a lot of money. And so buying my first house really, it was a very prideful thing. It brought me joy, but I was like, okay, I can also make this impact on other people's lives. And then I decided to get my license. That was June of 2017 after buying a home. So I literally left my job. My mom freaked out. I was a first generation college graduate. So it was college, get a great job, you make a great salary, great, boom, that's the ceiling, right? That's a dream. For me, it was never enough. I knew there was more out there. And so I decided that I was going to impact a lot of lives via real estate. I did not know at that time what that truly meant. I thought I'll be helping buyers and sellers achieve their goals. Building out my own team, this living like community, was not on my radar. And that's just how God works. We think we hit a ceiling and he's like, more is coming. You're doing it for people, you're doing it for the right reason. So I joined a team. Like I tell my team, I started off on a team. You learn a lot. You're exposed to a lot. It's like a drink from a fire hose. My first 6 months in real estate, 36 deals. It's just me connecting with people. Absolutely loved it. 6 months.
36 later. Deals in your first 6 months?
Yeah. Wow. I had my first two contracts within my first 10 days. Calling from the database, like 9 to 5. If you don't have an appointment, you're chained to the desk, outbound dialing. So
yeah,
what I did, I was used to that, you know, in insurance. So in insurance, people hang up on you. They don't want to talk about car insurance and home insurance. When it's a house, people love to dream. And that's what I you know, I'm a big dreamer and I love getting people permission to dream as well, and helping them to see themselves inside of that dream and how we can accomplish that together. So 36 transactions, my first 6 months on a team, brand new into real estate, left that full-time job, that the security blanket. And from there, just really skyrocketed. I became the lead buyer agent. I got into listings. I was responsible for training new hires now. Absolutely love that. My degree was in education and psychology, so I got to use both of those things in my real estate career. And from there, my husband and I met, we started dating. I did not have a lot of balance. And I think we talk a lot about work-life balance in real estate. I just put systems in place, and that's what helped to insulate me to protect mm-hmm. my time for when I was with this man. He's in the Air Force, has been now for 14 years this August. So deployments come up, we won't get physical time together. So I put systems to surround me with buying back my time. We dated for over a year, got engaged, he deployed, and this is all during COVID. So COVID hit in April 2020. I decided to leave my team and go full time. Later that week, Tennessee.
I want to pause you right there. There's a common theme that I've heard already.
Yeah.
And so the brand of this podcast is called All or Nothing.
Uh-huh.
You guys haven't caught this yet. Brittany is an all in type of woman. When she makes a decision, she goes all in. Like I thought I was the only crazy one that just like I quit my job so I could study for my test and go get licensed when I had no money.
Yep.
But like when I'm fixate on something, like I'm doing it. There is no plan B.
Absolutely.
I love that we have that in common. I love that all in mentality, and it fits the brand here, right? The all or nothing mindset. So I love that.
Yes. And it works well because my husband isn't that way. And I'm like, at least one of them will make sure the mortgage is paid.
There you go. Yeah.
Get the farm. I left my team and COVID happened, and I was like, oh no, for about a day, I was like, oh no, this is going to be the worst year ever. We know COVID was anything but, but at that same time, I got the opportunity to become a co-team lead for a big organization here, and took that opportunity, was really great at recruiting, bringing in 10 people a month, just through organic conversations, allowing them to dream and then facilitating that dream alongside them. And I decided, hey, I'm helping other people, organizations build wealth. Why am I not doing it for my family? Mm. So I decided to start a team, pour back into my friends who I was referring deals to because I simply didn't have the time to. And then I started my team in June 2021, future planning. We wanted to start our family also. So bringing in the people like Charlie, who's my operations rock star, bringing in our transaction coordinator, really leveraging off the things that keep me busy and bogged down and allow me to operate in my superpower. And those ladies, they love what they do, and that's great for them. So
yeah.
Started building out this team, and it really grew like wildfire. I had my son, fast forward to March 2022, things are great. I knew that where I was, there was a ceiling. We didn't have the right resources, tools. There was a lot of collaboration amongst everybody. They wanted to compete. That's not how I live. I believe in abundance. There's enough for everyone to go around.
Well, that's because you're a high performer, Brittany. And for those high performers listening, there's a common theme in the rooms that I challenge myself to be in that make me extremely uncomfortable because it's just the best of the best. And the people at the top collaborate, and the people at the bottom are the ones that are competing. And there's a lot of people in this world that think that if you have less, it gives me more.
Mm-hmm.
And that could not be further from the truth. And the people that live, and that's why you continue to grow and evolve, is because you have that mindset and you're, how can I contribute? You have that mindset of abundance and how can I contribute? How can I collaborate versus I don't want to share this information because someone else may know my secret. The reality, the secret is there are no secrets.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's collaboration over competition. I absolutely love that.
Yeah. That's actually on our wall back here where my,
really?
We're sitting. Yeah. Yeah. Neon lights with green behind it. It's exactly that. And together we achieve more. That's how we start off every slide on our team meetings. I absolutely believe that. And we talk about borrow belief or not a lot because yes. I love new agents. They don't have what I like to call baggage. They've not been beat down by the industry. Haven't been around anyone to tell them they can't achieve stuff. And yet when I do get someone who has been in the industry, I have someone on my team now for 7-8 years, same amount of time as me, who has not done, you know, the level of business they want to do, it's a little bit harder because they just have to shift their mindset. So they
you have to overcome the obstacles yeah. that they've already experienced, and you have to help them grow and evolve from their bad habits they've acquired.
Yeah. But when they see totally brand new agents crushing it, they're like, wait, this person's not special. They're just plugging into the playbook we all have access to.
And it removes the complications and it removes anything that makes it overwhelming, and it just goes back to, let me just run the play, because
so
they see
simple.
other people with less experience that are doing it, and simple solves the complex, right?
Yeah.
And so I absolutely love that.
Yeah. And so 22, we move our business over. I become a firm owner. And unfortunately, that was in September. 2 weeks prior to that, I was actually diagnosed with very aggressive form of breast cancer. Didn't know at the time, decided to do genetic testing that actually literally runs in my family. I'm BRCA2 positive, so really high risk for breast, ovarian, lung, skin, pancreatic, all the different types of cancer. But was fortunate enough that my husband, again, being in the military, his TRICARE insurance, thanks, Aaron, kicked in. We actually got on our 2-year wedding anniversary, September 19th. It's just, again, how God works. I'm a woman of faith. That's everything I do. That's the foundation for it. We were at a local sushi spot and the doctors called me, you know, we have no openings for 3 weeks. We know it's fast growing, can't get you in. As I'm on the phone with the nurse, she's just like, actually, I can't believe I'm seeing right now. Spots are opening up for your bone scan, for your cardiograph, for your brain. And she's like, how about September 19th? And she has no idea the significance of that date. No idea. I'm about to actually cry talking about this, and I'll say why in a second. But I said, absolutely. So on our 2-year wedding anniversary, my husband took me over to Tenova for all my different scans to make sure I didn't have stage 4 cancer, because we knew it was in one lymph node and it was fast growing. The significance about that, besides it being the date we got married, when Aaron and I started dating, I kind of stepped out of integrity for who I am as a person, because I knew where my walk was with Christ and wasn't sure about his. And I kind of removed God from everything, like even the vows, no mention of it. And that was just him coming back around full circle saying, you're running from me and I'm chasing after you. I'm chasing you down. Just love, abundant, the purest form of love. So the entire time, you know, I go forward with my grand opening a day after I had my first chemo right in this arm. Didn't have time to do my port surgery. No one knew besides my small circle. And our first, I always count about 18 months, because that first 6 months I was in chemo, and the next year was my full year out of, you know, treatment. Active treatment is what I call it. We did 98 million as a community. And that was only possible because I had the right people surrounding me. And we were all in alignment. Hey, our leader is out. She's depending on us to go and do the things that we said we're going to do for us and our families. Let's prove her right and blow this thing out of the water. So I continue to attract people. They didn't know. This is how I am on social media. I only put out the good. There's so much bad. I'm only going to put out the good and promote that, because that's what I want people to be attracted to. If you put out mess, you're going to attract the wrong people, because they're going to be like, I love the messy part of you. So let me come and we can be messy together. That's not what I want.
Yeah.
So we continue to grow and my team continued to thrive. And we built on these different systems, platforms. We met the right people. Once I was out of treatment, just walking to the right rooms. We talk about this a lot, Matt, you and I being a part of the Chick Black community. So special.
Yes.
Just so special. When I came out of active treatment, the end of 2023, and I connected with Preston, just the asking the right questions to getting me to rethink after all the trauma I had been through, was really empowering, allowed me to dream. And here I am, the person that tell other people what's possible because of where I've been. I had to realize that my ceiling was capped because I hadn't seen it modeled. But now being in a partnership with you and people like Dustin and Preston, it's just like, I see what's possible because these guys are doing it and I love you, but I'm like, you're nothing special.
Absolutely.
You just operate with the talents you've been giving and you love on people. You do it at a high level. And that's what makes us all so successful and allow us to grow, is that it's not for us. It's never been about us. It's about impacting the lives around us.
It's so funny that you mentioned that, like, I'm nothing special. I say that until, like, I can't say it anymore to, like, my team. And when I want everyone, like, it's like, I'm could not agree more. I don't come from anything. I'm everything that I have achieved and become is because I worked for it.
Yeah.
And so that means that you can too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, like, I share that in that you also shared something earlier, borrowed belief. Absolutely love that. And giving people inspiration and giving people hope and allowing them to dream. Like, I made a post yesterday about, like, I think people just give up too soon. They just get comfortable. And I think comfort is the enemy of growth and good is the enemy of great. And like, when did good enough become good enough? Why do we like, and so, and I reframed it as like, I mean, I'm a girl dad. And so that's my favorite job in the world is I get to be a dad. And like, I'm either the example or the warning of the life that they can live. Like, how many parents tell their kids you can be anything that you want, shoot for the stars, dream big. But what if your kids looked at you and said, "Well, you asking me to live out my dreams, when did you give up on yours?" And I think it's a different perspective shift for people of like, why did we stop dreaming? Like, I think we need to dream more. I think that we become infected with society or negativity or whatever it may be, challenges, obstacles, things that we and instead of using that to fuel us and become better, we allow that sometimes to make us become bitter or become comfortable and we stop growing. And so I think that there's a lot there that I see in your journey that I really relate with. I want to kind of go back a little bit in your story. So you had mentioned that you're a woman of faith. I'm a person of faith as well. It's one of the things that we connect on. And you shared the significance of that date and the nurse being on the phone and literally saying, "Oh my gosh, these calendar spots are coming open." Like, I got goosebumps
Crazy.
again, all up and down my body.
Crazy.
One of my good friends, and she's actually my director of sales from our organization. She's a really, really good friend as well. But her and I go to the same church, and she, I shared something when I got back into church several months ago with my family, and I shared something that happened that was just like, it was like six things in a row. I'm like, there's no explanation for this. This is not a coincidence, you know? And she said, "Oh, we call those God winks." And I'm like, I'm gonna steal that. I'm gonna steal that. That is so good. It's just like it's a reminder of like, hey, there's I'm here, I got you, right? And so I absolutely love that. And I think that there's whether people are here believe in faith or not, I'm not here to judge you, but I think that there's hopefully some hope in that story and inspiration of like, I think that we give up too soon and we think things aren't possible. And how easy would it have been to just throw in the towel because, well, now I have to wait for this and I have to wait for that. But it's, you've got to have hope, right? You got to have, and even if it's not faith in the things that Brittany and I have faith in, you need faith in something, faith in yourself, faith in the future.
Having kids, you know,
Yes.
my son was so I got diagnosed today. My son turned 6 months old. You know, when people say I would die for my child, but would you live for them? Would you chase down abundance, goodness, wholeness? Would you chase down those things? There's absolute like you and I talk about this. You're like, Brittany, I think you suffer from you could do everything well. And I'm like, yeah, I don't believe there's a ceiling. Like, there is no ceiling that exists that I couldn't stop and go and get because my son exists. And I'm going to do that because I want to be that model for him. No one has to tell. He doesn't have to read a book or anything because his parents will go out and model that for him.
Yes, and because you're the example, you are the walking example of what's possible. And I think that it's so funny you mentioned the would you like everyone said that they would die for, everyone says they'll die for their kids. I actually closed that's how I closed out the post that I made yesterday around this was that exact thing. It's like we're the same person. It's crazy. But it's and it one of the things that I said and how I frame it is like so many people would say like I would take a bullet for my kids. I would step in front of a moving train to get like I would do that all day every day. I'm one of those people. But that same person, like if I challenge them and ask them, well, why aren't you living for them? Like there's a, I think living for them is more powerful than dying for them. But living for them requires actually more sacrifice and it requires a tougher journey. It's tougher to live for them than it is to die for them. But that doesn't mean it's not worth it. And one of the things that you shared too is you shared that you were the first person to own a home in your journey. You're the first person to go to college. And what I call that is like, again, you were the example and you are changing your family tree forever. And
Absolutely.
I'm curious, I want to pivot to ask you a question on this now, because I'm curious, this is just something that I'm always curious about humans and how we continue to develop, because there's different reasons for a lot of us is why wasn't whenever you first sold 36 homes in 6 months, when you bought your first home, when you got on your first team, when you graduated business school, what is it inside of you at each one of these stair steps that you've had that allows you to like continue to keep pushing forward? Because it's easier in those moments to sit back and say, wow, I never thought I'd be here before. I feel like I've made it. especially if you're coming from the background that you came from or the background that I came from, it's just like we outgrew that quickly. And it's been a challenge for me to continue to strive and grow. And so I'm curious, what's your secret behind that? What allows you to continue to push through and strive for more?
My self-talk. It's just all like I used to be a sleepwalker when I was younger, and that's just because my brain would not turn off, and it still does that now at a very high level. I get my most creative at night. I was a sleepwalker, so my brain literally didn't turn off. And then as a kid, no matter the chaos going on around me, I knew that I served a living God, again, on the faith all the way back to 10. I read the Bible for the first time at 10 years old. Nobody prompted me to, and I fasted. Like, it was crazy. Playing sports, I still fasted. So I serve a living God. Yes, he died for us, but he's also living in everything we do. And so for me, I'm going to live out the promises that he has over my life, right? My high school teacher, she was actually my middle school teacher as well, and then became principal. Her saying was, good is no longer good enough. And she went to the same college I went to. I remember seeing her at homecoming. Just knowing that good is no longer good, and we strive for excellence because that's what God promised us. So again, no matter the chaos going on around me, I saw my mother. She literally sacrificed a career she could have had playing for the WNBA. She got recruited, still holds state records in Tennessee.
Wow.
One of the, like, I came to Knoxville, people were like, wait, your last name is Boatwright? Do you know Mary Boatwright? And I'm like, oh my God, like, not again, like, all the time. And so, but she sacrificed her dream for family. She came back for to help raise family members when her mom was going through stuff. And she always encouraged me not to do that. Don't do it. She knew I would go to college out of state. And when I went, she said, don't come back home. Don't come back home. I was always different, and this is the hard part about being set apart. I felt like the black sheep because of the way I dreamt around my family members. And now in my new faith walk, I see friends distancing, like they're pulling back from me. I'm not changing. I'm healing. And you start to notice that it can become very lonely until you find people that get it, that have that screw loose, like we talked about earlier.
You got to find some other crazy people,
You
right?
have to find them. It can become so lonely. You're like, am I the only crazy person in the room? But yeah, I just allowed myself to have those thoughts. And I did have a mom who knew she sacrificed a dream she worked her butt off for family, and she didn't want to see me do it. So I started my family later in life. There was no way I was going to have a kid with a guy who wasn't going to be there. Like, no way. And I just put those standards in place. Like, here's what I'm going to accomplish. And we just checked them all off, by the grace of God.
I love it. And I think, like, to summarize all of that, it's really, really good. It's like, I think our upbringing affects that. And you saw the sacrifices that your mom made, but also, like, you feel an alignment and a faith and a feeling in your gut, whatever you want to call it, that, like, you are meant for more. And it's like, I relate to that. And I thought that I was the problem for years. And it's, you go through the lonely chapter, right, of that growth until you get yourself in other rooms and you find it, find other like-minded people. And that's one of the things I love about you is that we get to collaborate together. Matt, I mean, I was on a call with your team this morning, right?
Yeah, they
And
love
so we, yeah,
it.
and we just, like, we lift each other up. And it's, I think that what you try to do for your team of the borrowed belief and the leveling up is, like, one of the things that we're doing in our community to help other people have team leaders have that experience. Because as a team leader, you're also lonely,
Very lonely. Nobody, they're
right?
like, you ball out. And I'm like, no, there's
Yeah.
the
Exactly. And
margins
so
were slim.
I wanted to highlight a little bit on the background. It's like, that's an amazing story about your mom. I didn't know that. That's awesome. It takes a lot to have this the discipline to be a professional athlete, and to have the sacrifice to put family first is that's admirable, extremely. One of the things that that reminded me of is that in my upbringing, I remember I was a kid. I was probably, I don't know, 10 to 12, somewhere around there. Got up in the middle of the night and I heard, like, this loud typing noise. I'm like, what is that? And I went into my mom's room because that's where it was coming from, and she had her headset on and she was transcribing at night. It was 2 a.m. She woke me up at, like, 6 a.m. to get ready for school every day. I didn't know this. She had been doing that for years. I already knew she worked two jobs, but she did that at night. so that we could live the life where I could have the Nike shoes and I could have the nice clothes so no one knew that we were poor, right? Because I was raised by a single mom. And so like to see that, it really helped me with my work ethic that I still have today because I remember that. And what was really cool about that early on, just a little pat on my own back, is like looking back now and reflecting, is that I started working very early on and I just saved all the money that I could. And I remember I had a big square TV, like the box TVs before flat screens. And I would just keep the cash that I made. I stacked slabs at a sawmill for $20 a day when I was 12 years old during the summers. That was my first job. And I saved every penny and I kept it under my TV. And I remember my mom would borrow money from me to pay bills, and she didn't know that I knew.
Wow.
So how about that for inspiration to keep going
with
the kid, right? And so I just think that, like, I don't know why, I just felt the need to share that, because I think that a lot of people struggle once they accomplish something, like, what's next? What's next? And it's not that you want to, like, not enjoy or look back and be grateful for the things you've overcome, what you've accomplished. But I think that a lot of us, I think all of us actually, can continue to grow and evolve. And so many people give up too soon.
Yeah. For me, it's just really disrespectful for the people that believed in me and poured into me for me to just stop. If what they wanted for my life is bigger than what I'm willing to go out and chase, it's a slap in the face to them.
So good.
You and I had a conversation, Matt, about what it meant for agents to be full-time or part-time. And that really stopped me in my tracks, because I was thinking about all the people I said no to because I didn't understand the framework of what the activity really meant to be full-time or part-time. And I'm like, I taught these people no when I was probably sent to help change their family tree. And my limited mindset could not see through it all. So that's why I continue to get in partnerships with people that are where I want to go, that impacted so many lives, because I see that as a possibility for me too. Like, we talk about spreading the gospel. This is what I feel like my mission is, to empower other people to believe in me more.
Absolutely. I'm with you 100%. That's one of the things I love about coaching. It's one of the things I love about, like, it's, we're like, the more and more I'm talking to you, I'm like, we just see each other all the time, and I love it. Right. We with your team this morning. You partnered with Dustin Running and I in the Built for More community, EXP. You're in the Cheplak community. We have coaching calls every week. Like, it's like, I love it. And so that's why all of those things that I just mentioned, though, that we're in alignment with. And I think you can relate to this, and you were kind of sharing, alluding to this earlier, is like getting in those rooms and those environments with other individuals is almost a unfair advantage for people that don't do it, because it is such a superpower. It is so powerful to be around like-minded people in a community of abundance and contribution and collaboration. So how has that impacted your life and your business?
You guys just give freely. There is nothing expected in exchange. You just give because you want to. It comes from a pure place. And I think the world needs to see more of that, because we're in such a society where you pay for something, you get something in return, right? We all expect that. You guys are like, this is what I did. And you may think it's nothing, but the smallest tweak, like the small hinges swing big doors, right? We talk about that. The smallest thing, I remember going to ConversionCon. I think you were the first speaker, right? You opened it up. I recorded your entire speech and I was like, I got to follow this guy on Facebook immediately, because yes, 100%, we are very similar. Just leaving every event and getting 1% better. And I'm like, I should have paid more for this. Like, how much was the ticket? I don't know, but it should have been more. But that's just the difference of people like John and like Alec that just want to pour into people because they've been there. I think when you come from having to get yourself through hellfire and struggles and tragedy and trauma, you wake up, you're at a point to where you're like, okay, I overcame that. Now how can I help another Brittany, another Matt, see through that and get through that next level?
So good. I want to go deeper on that, because you mentioned the word trauma. And I think, and I learned this from Dustin, from Dustin Runyon, is that I think a lot of people they seek validation, right? We all want community. It's a human need. We need it, right? It's not a want, it's a need. And I think a lot of people, when they go, because we all have our traumas and dramas of life, right? We all have a story, every one of us. There's two different types of people. Maybe there's more, but for the sake of this discussion, there's two. There's the people that use the trauma to bond around the trauma and the pains and the problems and the woe is me. And then there's the people that use the trauma as a, I'm going to bond and how I overcame and how I can help others overcome.
Yep.
And I think the second nature of the, we have both overcame stuff in our life, and we feel obligated now to help others do the same.
Yeah.
And like, that's the, like, and I look back, you mentioned John, you mentioned Alec, you mentioned Dust, like everybody that I can think of you, everybody I can think of that like I'm really close in alignment with. That's what we bond around, is because we know that we went through the hard stuff and we came up the
Yes.
other side, and we feel in our heart an obligation to help other people through whatever their hard times are.
Yeah.
I
It's
love
something, you know, gratitude is so powerful. We start off all of our team meetings with, what are you grateful for? And if somebody can't think of something, I'm like, well, you woke up this morning, so that was first. Now tell me what's
Yeah.
next. Like, how do we, you know, we
Did
start
you
off.
like my my framing of the $10 million versus waking up in the morning?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That was
Yeah.
good. That was
Yeah.
good. I, you know, the rooms you're in just, you know, can help me, you know, again, I have a degree. My family's proud of me about that, right? The rooms I walked into have changed my life more than that degree ever could, you know.
Or none.
I've been to 3 Chick-fil-A events now. No. I went to Conversion Con. I think just 2. Just 2, and I'm going to be at the ranch. But just seeing you guys, just being on in community with you on social media, being intentional about what I'm taking in, you know, I'm following, then leading, blocking folks that just are pouring in that there's still trauma bonding. And the friends that, you know, we form friendships over trauma bonding, seeing all those melt away is so freeing. I feel so light now. Like you asked me how I felt when I went to EXP, it was hard. You know, we onboarded 32 people. That was a lot of moving pieces during our busy season. And yet the freedom I got from making that change, I no longer had to associate with folks that were okay with the status quo, that had a bad, you know, taste in their mouth for, you know, this EXP company that started here because they were first. I'm like, we're doing something different. We're doing it the Max House way. Our home is the home of excellence. Like, it can be done a different way. I'm just fired up about the alignment.
Yeah. It, girl, we're just getting started. We are going to impact so many lives. And I'm like, I feel like I can see the future. And what Dust, I wish I had sunglasses. Dust on the call is when I put his sunglasses on, because our future is bright, right? I absolutely love it. And I think one of the things that that I wanted to really go deeper on around that is that I think that you had mentioned this earlier in like your growth journey too, is you mentioned making the move to EXP. Like, I think a good explanation that is like, it was heavy. It was a lot,
yes.
But it also lightened the load so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, does that make sense? Like, it,
yes.
Sometimes you have to, and here's what happens is a lot of times we get to this crossroads or get to this challenging thing in life. And it becomes so hard that we just turn around and walk the other way. But we were so close to breaking through that. That's where your breakthroughs are in the hardest times. And so like, it, whatever that, however anyone can relate that to, because I think we all go through those. But I want to also mention like the load that you mentioned coming off of you. I also think a lot of that is in the lonely chapter of growth that we both mentioned in this podcast. A lot of that happens as you are working on personal development. You're growing yourself, you're growing your business, you're earning more income, you're in big different rooms. You maybe start saying the word no to people, and you start setting boundaries for yourself. And then people will say things like, well, Brittany, you've changed. And
praise God.
Yeah, exactly. And like, it just, it blows my mind. I'm like, and you haven't? Like, you've changed since high school. Yeah, and I'm glad I have.
Yes.
Right? And so, but I think a lot of people, and it's, I think it's an identity issue, and I think it's because we haven't done that self-work, or we haven't been around the right people maybe, and maybe we can be that community for those, or maybe someone listening to this can help them through that. But like, I still love my friends from high school.
Yeah.
And hang out with them. If they called me tomorrow and they needed, if they broke down on the side of the highway, I would drop everything to go help them, because I genuinely love and care for them. But they don't serve my mission, and we're not in alignment anymore. Doesn't
Absolutely.
make it wrong. I didn't remove them from my life. They're just not necessarily a, I go out of my way as a priority. It doesn't mean I care for them any less. I just found other people. And what I found is you grow and you develop. And as you get into bigger rooms and you become more more successful and you become more aware of your surroundings and who you hang around, the more successful you are, the less friends you have, but the deeper relationships you have with them. And it becomes real and it becomes genuine. And it's, it doesn't, I don't know, but maybe I'm going to go out on a limb because we're the same person. How much do you enjoy going to a local chamber of commerce luncheon and chit chat?
Zero. Have zero interest. I love the phrase becoming, and I love becoming because I want to hear from the other person. What are they working on to become the version of them 1 year, 5 year, 10 years down the road? I hate small talk. Yes. I avoid it. People never see me in person. I'm the most social person on social media. And I'm like, you will never see me out at a happy hour or a mixer. I just don't do it.
Yep. Unless it's in a room of other crazy people like us.
Yeah. Like, I will spend money to go travel to be in those rooms.
Same. I just had a feeling, right? We had never talked about that before, but I hate networking in the traditional sense because to me it's small talk and it's gossip and it's drama and it's stuff that doesn't matter. And it's people wanting to feel good about themselves and tell you how good they are. And I want to, how can I help you?
I know. I don't know if I told you the story, but I hadn't gone to the award celebration for my previous company since we've been over here, like 2 years in a row. I was like, oh, I'm not going. This past year, I became the highest earning African-American in the company's history. They've been number one here locally for 46 years. And my guys,
congratulations.
Go. Thank you. They're like, you got to go. And I'm like, I don't really care. Like, yeah, that's GCI. Like, I'm looking at my net, not really spectacular, not where I want to be, right? And they're like, you have to go. So I went, my whole team went. So I had to go. And we were in the circle, and I had somebody ask. He was like, hey, how's your year been so far? I was like, oh, these guys are doing good, like hyping up my team. And the way he asked that, I said, he didn't ask because he truly cares. He wanted to compare himself to me. And when I just gave, these guys are doing great, he started to pour into, we're doing X, Y, Z, X, like brag, like very braggadocious. And I'm like, what is this? Like,
yeah. I removed myself from those situations now. Right. Yeah. And so whether that's on social media, whether that's in person, I just don't go. And I will call it rude, but I will literally just walk away from the conversation. I just leave.
Yeah.
But that's better than what I want to do. Right. And so I remember just to kind of tell a story to piggyback off of yours is I was at a local awards thing. This was years ago. And our team was in kind of a growth phase. And we were the kind of the new kids still. And this was when I was drinking still. And someone, I was in the line at the bar to get a drink. Cause that's what you do at real estate award ceremonies. You just get drunk. Right. Not anymore. But that's what I used to do. And so I was there and she was asking about, hey, how's your year? How's it going? And I shared, I'm like, hey, thanks for asking. What about yours? She shared a little bit. And then she said, what are you going to do? $100 million next year? And laughed in my face. Like it wasn't possible. Because no one's ever done it in our area, right? It's just like it to them, it was like that's Mount Everest. We're gonna do $200 million this year, right? As an example. Okay. But whenever she said that, I'm like, I literally said to her, I said, well, that wasn't my goal, but it is now. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll send you a thank you card when we hit it. Right? Like people just have this limited mindset. And I honestly feel sad for them. I really do. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people allow that kind of stuff to prevent them from growing.
Yeah.
What I love about you is that you're able to take that stuff and allow it to fuel you and not only fuel you for you to grow, but for you to fuel yourself so you can fuel others so that they can grow with you.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. As an example, like for those of you wondering, like here's her numbers last year were 248 transactions for 72 million and year to date. By the way, how many teams are up this year versus last year? Not very many. Brittany is on pace to my calculation. She's going to beat it by a lot. She's going to probably match next year or last year and within the next 30 to 45 days. And it's June. So she's going to close to double, right? Depending on what the rest of the year does year over year. And there is no secret, but if I were to ask the secret, because I have a behind the scenes look, we've had different conversations of what her growth is. The secret is everything she shared with you here today. And by the way, none of that is a secret, right? Like that's where the growth comes from though, is because she is becoming and she's helping others become.
Yeah.
So Brittany, what do you feel is your superpower? What do you feel is like something that is you can rely on that's helped you get to where you are. If someone's like, Brittany's my hero, which I'm one of those people, like, how do I become more like Brittany?
Oh, sorry, you froze up there, Matt. Were you saying, what's my superpower?
What's your superpower? If someone's watching and someone is saying, I want to become more like Brittany because Brittany's my hero. I'm one of those people because you're my hero. How do I become more like Brittany?
Remain in curiosity. Ask great questions. Just remaining curious and not having an ego. I posted about this earlier is, you know, when somebody asks, you know, have you made your dials already? Oh, I've already done that. Have you done script practice? Oh, I've already done that. And not want to take a second to think about what else can be done more. I'm a very curious person by nature. And I have a three-year-old who's now going to that, well, why, mommy? And at first, I was like, oh, he has to understand everything. And I'm like, no, that's great. I can explain to my toddler why I'm asking him to be respectful or to brush his teeth in the morning. Same thing with us as adults, like going back to the why is the heart of it all. You know, as humans, we need to have a why for everything we do. And if we focus on that and remain curious when we see people accomplishing things and just say, hey, Matt, what was that one thing you did to help you have a breakthrough? There's no shame in that. I think there is, you know, our society, it makes it feel weak when we admit that we have something missing. And that's where, you know, you and I as humans, we are meant to have this reciprocity. One of my favorite Yes. quotes used to be on the bottom of my email signature was, we were giving two hands, one for ourselves and the other to help the other person up.
I love it.
To reach back, each one teach one and give back into us. And that's why I always love to be curious. I don't want to feel like I know it all or the smartest person in the room. I have an ego, I guess.
Yeah, and my good friend Brent Gove, who's in business with us at EXP, he says your ego is not your amigo, right? And there's too much ego in this business, just my opinion. And it's not that I don't have one, but I'm able to regulate it from time to time, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things that you said too is that I think a lot of people are afraid to ask questions. And I think they think questions are a sign of weakness. In reality, questions are actually a sign of strength. Like as an example, in our meeting this morning, the lady that the first one to ask a question, because she asked that question, was vulnerable in front of a room, she got a free 30-minute call out of the deal, right?
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's because she had the strength and courage to ask that question in front of others. And I think a lot of people use that as an excuse maybe, or maybe it's legitimate. Maybe they think it's a weakness and they don't want to appear weak. But reality is that if you don't ask questions, it's hard to get the answers. And remaining curiosity is really, really good advice.
Yeah, vulnerability is a superpower. I've learned that.
Yes.
You know, my following on social media only became so attached to my story because I was sharing those highs and that low. Like they've seen the lows in my life, but they also get to be there and celebrate. You know, and the highs as well. So I'm very much myself. I put it all out there, good, bad, ugly.
It's authentic.
Complete transparency. Yeah.
Yep. There's too much fake. And you're authentic, you're genuine, you're real. And what I love is that you're even stepping into that more since we've been coaching together. I can see it in you. And you shared it a little bit here is that you're stepping more into yourself and you feel like you have more freedom and permission to be yourself. And the wrong people are disappearing and the right people are appearing. Isn't
Yes.
that crazy how that works?
It's great. Yeah.
Yep. I love it. Cool. Well, Brittany, if someone wants to follow you, what's the best place to follow you?
So my Facebook is Brittany Boatwright Johnson. That's Brittany with one T, A-N-Y. My Instagram is Brittany.Boatwright.
Awesome. And I'm telling you, you will not regret following her. She has a lot of great content. And Brittany, thank you for taking the time to be here.
Yeah, it's an honor, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for sharing so many golden nuggets. There's going to be a lot of value for a lot of people in this episode. So I really appreciate you taking the time in this crazy season that you're in. You're in this crazy season of revamping your entire team, partnering with us at EXP, rebranding the name of your team. You got all these craziness and you still took the time to contribute today. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you show up to give back and it's like I said, it's the heart of it all.
That's right.
Appreciate you, Matt.
I love it. Appreciate you too. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Go follow Brittany. And all I ask of if you found value from this episode, which I know Brittany gave you value here, share this episode with a friend. Share this with someone that you know will make an impact in their life so we can continue giving back and make this movement continue to grow. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brittany.
You're welcome. Bye, Matt.
See you guys next week.